Thank you very much, James. And the recordings have been started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the CCWG Accountability Webinar on the 23rd of August, 2016. I would like to remind you all to please remember to mute your microphones and your telephones, as all lines will be kept open. This will help avoid disturbance. There will be a question and answer session at the end of the presentation, and you may also type your questions in the chat. They will be read out at the end of the presentation. And with this, I'll hand it over to James Waddell. Thank you ever so much. Over to you, James.
Thank you, Natalie, and thank you to ICANN staff for putting together this webinar at the request of the GNSO Council and for Xavier and Thomas for taking the time to attend, and for all attendees, I hope you've come prepared with questions. Just to say, this is a continuation of a conversation that began immediately before and at the most recent ICANN meeting in Helsinki, where we were examining some proposals from that originated with the board and with executive staff on how the CCWG leadership and members could engage to control some of the costs associated with the work surrounding the IANA transition and the work that had been concluded, but also, and more importantly, perhaps as we transition into work stream two. And just to provide a high-level timeline, all of the SOs and ACs are being asked to examine, review these proposals and to weigh in. From the GNSO perspective, we are tentatively, while we're still working out the agenda for our next meeting, we are tentatively looking at tabling this topic as a discussion item for the meeting on the 1st of September, with the possibility that we will have a motion prepared to review and or adopt these proposals at our subsequent meeting, which will be on the 29th of September. So that's our schedule roughly, but in the interim, we wanted to give folks an opportunity to review these proposals and most importantly, ask questions of Xavier and Thomas. So with that, if you don't mind, Xavier, if you'd like to take it away from here and present the materials, and then we can move to Thomas and then circle back for Q&A.
Thank you, James. Can you hear me well?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you very much for everyone to take the time to attend this call. And the purpose, of course, is to provide you with the information that is necessary for you to have a good understanding of the topic that we're going to cover for your future review of it and vote, as James has indicated. To put things a bit back into context, The work stream one of the overall IANA stewardship transition has happened over the past year and a half, along with the CWG work on the stewardship transition, with a lot of work, a lot of hours, a lot of meetings, as well as the need to use external resources to help develop the proposals. This has happened with an extreme amount of involvement of community members, of staff, including of board members as well. A lot of work with a very high stake in making this happen on time. This has allowed the organization as a whole and the community to learn to work through this type of exercises in this fashion, and lessons have been learned from that exercise. And as we look forward into the next stage, and more specifically right now in relation to the WS2 work, which is the continuation of that past few months of transition work, we want to learn to use the lessons learned to be able to put the tools in place to have a transparent and accountable way of managing the overall community work on this specific topic. And in that respect, enable the community-led work to be both responsible and also, of course, accountable for the work that happens. And among those, the elements that support that responsibility and accountability, there is the management of resources and therefore of a budget. So we have worked with the board, generally speaking, and more specifically the Board Finance Committee, and the co-chairs of both of the CWG and the CCWG to try to develop an approach that enables the community to assume that responsibility and the accountability for their resources in the most practical and realistic fashion. And we have therefore developed a relatively straightforward approach, which is summarized in the document that we are looking at now, whereas we have tried to identify and segregate the expenses and resources that the could be put and made available to the CCWG co-chairs in this case to be able to manage the project and put in place the resources that are required to produce the desired outcome from the WS2. So we have worked with Mathieu and Thomas and Leon to try to sort out what are the resources that we all think are required and what are those resources that we think among the overall resources, what are the resources that the CCWG co-chairs can take on the responsibility of putting in place and managing as well the costs of. So in that respect, we have sorted out that the travel for ICANN meetings or for CCWG meetings, which is suggested to happen at ICANN meetings, and the supported travelers costs associated with attendees to the CCWG face-to-face meeting at ICANN meetings would be part of the cost managed by the CCWG and the co-chairs, as well as the need for external advice. Legal is mainly the type of advice that has been used in the past, and that expense, that cost, would be something that would also be managed by the CCWG and the co-chairs. In contrast, the ICANN staff support, for example, is a resource that it continues to be managed by the ICANN staff, with obviously the understanding that the ICANN staff support is there to help the work of the CCWG as a whole and each of the work streams within WS2. In that the staff will, of course, continue to do everything possible to ensure that the work of the community, each work stream, is as efficient and effective as possible. So there is a budget ownership that's been defined for travel expenses and professional services with estimated amounts of budgets associated to it. You can see this in the bold frame that is appearing at the top of the page in Adobe. And the responsibility for budget, what does it mean? It basically means that there is a certain amount of resources assigned to either travel or professional services in this case, in that it is in the authority of the CCWG co-chairs to determine whether these resources are being used, or if these resources can be traded off for other type of resources. For example, if we need more money for legal advice, can maybe a meeting be canceled or done differently so that we save money on one hand so that it can be reallocated for a different purpose? That's an authority and a responsibility that the budget owner can take. The budget ownership also includes the activity of monitoring the expenses as well as planning for the future expenses on the basis of the work that is estimated to be done. And if that plan for future expenses leads to the need for more resources because it is determined that there's more activity than was originally planned, or there is just more complex topics to deal with that require therefore more advice, for example, that the duty of the budget owner is also to formulate a request for additional resources if need be, document and explain and justify that request, and then, forward it onto the chartering organizations for their validation of that request. And if the chartering organizations would validate that request, then that request would be then made to the board to approve additional resources on the basis of the justification provided. The budget ownership is therefore the responsibility for the resources that are engaged, and comes along, of course, with the accountability to the community for those resources. So along that budget ownership, another mechanism that is part of the process suggested is to ensure that timely reporting of the costs incurred for the entire project is made available publicly so that everyone has the timely visibility on what the costs of the project are. And of course, the CCWG co-chairs need to have a very timely understanding of what the costs are of the resources that have been put in place, but also that these costs can be shared and reported publicly for transparency purposes. So that's one thing. And in that respect, the PCST, the Project Cost Support Team, that has been put in place at the Marrakesh meeting to help document and explain the costs that had been happening throughout FY16, is being offered as a support to the budget owners that the CCWG co-chairs would be to help providing that information on a timely basis, providing analysis, and providing the support to forecast also the costs on the basis of the future activities that would be carried out. So the PCST is there to help that reporting, that analysis, that communication in support of the budget owners. In addition to the budget ownership and the PCST, there is also a suggested approach to, and I'm moving on to the item three in the OW room, to create or reinstate, to be more precise, the legal committee, which purpose is to help manage the need for legal advice, the evaluation of that need, and the management of that the resources to obtain that legal advice where required. The legal committee suggested to include a representative of the ICANN legal staff, which is Sam Eisner, that many of you know, and several community members who have some amount of experience also in using external legal advice or managing it. I think Bernie will provide us with the names of the members, but it includes Greg Shatton. It could include, Robin Rose is part of it as well. A number of members of the CCWG who had been part of the previous version of that legal committee and would offer the approach of receiving, identifying and receiving requests for external advice, evaluating those requests, defining what the best approach is to obtain the advice that is needed, and ensure that this legal advice is obtained most effectively and in the most cost-efficient fashion. In the fourth item that you can see here in the little document that was put together for this purpose is the analysis and reporting that the PCST is providing, which I spoke about earlier. Let me stop there. I want to offer to Thomas to add anything to what I just said, and then maybe we can see if there's any questions. Thomas, do you want to add anything, or are you good?
Thanks very much, Xavier. I'd just like to say a few words, particularly in response to Jeff's point in the chat. Jeff has raised his a point that point of disappointment that funding is not available for other PDP work, and that sort of the CCWG or transition-related work is privileged. I do agree that there is sort of a special role for this project and that it has absorbed a lot of energy from the whole community. And Jeff, I think you've been one of those who warned very early after the U.S. government made its announcement in front of the GNSO Council that you would want the Council and the GNSO to focus on its mission and not be fully distracted by the accountability work. Nonetheless, that happened to a certain extent, but I sincerely hope that you agree that the transition, A, was a very important and still is a very important project, and that, B, the work on the transition has really allowed for the community to move to the next level. And that includes the collaboration between the community staff and the board. We have worked extensively with the BFC, with staff, with the other co-chairs to come up with predictions of what the budget should look like. And other than in Workstream 1, where we sort of had to request from staff when we needed funds, and we only had limited possibilities to sign off on requests to external counsel, but we didn't really have cost control because we didn't have a budget, and there was nothing at our fingertips that we could use in terms of tools to control costs. We now really have entered into a new phase, and hopefully what we see with the CCWG today can serve as a role model for other policy-related work that is conducted by the community. When we started preparing for Hyderabad, I had a chat with Bernie, and I said, Bernie, it would be just awesome to fly business in order to arrive there, be relaxed, and be able to chair the meeting. And I was saying this more or less joking, because I knew that CCWG members would only be funded economy class. And he said, well, you can fly business. It's your budget. You own it. And I think that said quite something. And while I certainly did not use that authority over the budget to book myself into business, I think this is something that we have never seen before, that the community was giving funds to spend certainly within certain boundaries, but to associate this budget power with responsibility and accountability mechanisms for these expenses to allow for more transparency, to track progress with the project against budget. I guess this is an excellent opportunity for us as we move on. And so certainly the burden is now on us CCWG co-chairs to show that this works and that this is efficient and that this really helps the community to become more efficient in its policy work, not only on the CCWG but also in other areas of policy, that such a model can actually be deployed in other areas of ICANN's community work. So hope that this helped shed a little bit of light on where we are and why I think that this is particularly important, not only for us, but also for the rest of the community. And we have to operationalize it. We have to make sure that we spend money wisely, that we track progress wisely, so that we show that the responsibility that we are given, that we, you know, pay back on it, basically. I know that Bernie has prepared some slides, so unless Xavier wants to to continue, I suggest that we move on to Bernie, who knows all about the niceties of the newly established cost control mechanisms.
Thank you, Thomas. Can you hear me?
You can. You can be heard all right.
Thank you. All right. Given we're running a little late, I'll be brief here so we can leave time for questions. Next slide, please. I don't seem to have slide control here. All right. Workstream 2, just a quick reminder, is composed of 9 topics. You've got 8 here, but one was added when we went through all the details at the end. Next slide, please. And these are the numbers. I think Xavier did a good job, and we won't spend a lot of time on those. Next slide, please. All right. Now, Xavier mentioned the legal committee. Originally in Workstream 1, the legal committee was established and had rules of operations. We were overtaken by events and timing. And once we were discussing how to reestablish budget control for Workstream 2, the legal committee was reinstated pretty much as it was. Its role, as it states here, is to filter, analyze, and refine and approve requests for legal service and to determine which firm is best suited to respond. So basically, the committee meets once a month. It's based on subgroup requests. So those 9 subgroups that compose the work for Workstream 2 can submit requests. And then these are discussed, presented, and with the support of the PCST, the legal committee tracks legal expenses with clear distinction between what is related to its scope versus any other legal costs. An important point here is that the legal committee ensures that request is a legal issue and not a policy issue. I mean, this is what ICANN is about, is to resolve policy issues. We don't want to send policy issues out to external legal counsel. We want to solve legal issues. We want to solve legal issues that are require the expertise from external legal counsel. We want to ensure that we ask that external legal counsel specifically what we want them to answer. The composition based on the Workstream 1 legal subteam is Leon Sanchez, which is one of the 3 CCWG accountability co-chairs. Samantha Eisner, as mentioned by Xavier earlier, Athena Frakuli, Robin Gross, David McCauley, Sabin Meyer, Ed Morris, and Greg Chatham. Next slide, please. Again, the numbers recapping what Xavier was talking about, what is actually under the control of the CCWG co-chairs. Next slide, please. All right, now, meat of the thing is here, the guidelines for the legal committee. If ICANN Legal already has an answer available to the question, it can be shared immediately to avoid extra costs. I think Xavier mentioned earlier, and Thomas also, with Workstream 2, we've started in a new phase of work. As Samantha Eisner put it, in Workstream 1, she thought it was absolutely understandable that the CCWG accountability had its lawyers work very closely with them. ICANN on this slide worked with ICANN Legal and their external lawyers, and those parties got together to resolve some issues. We're beyond that now, and we're working in a much more, I would say, collaborative fashion. And I think this is a clear example of that. ICANN Legal will be at the table, and if they have answers to questions that are coming out of the CCWG accountability, well, we'll just get them there. The committee may direct the request that ICANN Legal or external law firms based on a case-by-case assessment. So basically, they will look to take into account costs, delays, respective skills, as well as potential requirement for independent advice. So really the idea is to be effective and efficient with using external legal advice. The committee is encouraged to use ICANN Legal as much as possible in order to manage costs effectively. The Adler will coordinate to decide which firm is best suited to address requests certified to CCWG Independent Counsel. If the CCWG requests advice from Jones Day, then Jones Day should disclose to ICANN that they will be working on this for the CCWG. Hiring of other firms for specific expertise would be subject to CCWG accountability and ICANN Legal prior approval, similar to the process that was used in Workstream 1. So once everything has gone through this process, the legal committee has determined it needs to hire external legal counsel. It forwards the request with the relevant details, including the estimated cost and a report from the PCSC on the financial impact of possibly hiring this external legal service, to the co-chairs for approval, given they are the budget owners. The co-chairs will consider the request and the financial impact as soon as possible and provide a formal response to the legal committee, which will be documented on the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 Wiki if approved, and then request that the legal committee take on the handing out of the assignment to the external legal service provider. So that's it for me, and I guess we'll turn it back over to James to handle the question period. Thank you.
Thank you, and I was actually, before throwing open the queue, I just wanted to see if David wanted to handle the Q&A session, or I'm happy to do so as well. As you can see, we're kind of managing this ad hoc, but it looks like we have a fairly significant queue, so why don't I just go ahead and jump in with Paul McGrady. Hi, Paul. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Thanks, James. Paul McGrady here. So I have a question about the dollar amount set aside in relationship to Workstream 1 and what topics then will be viable topics in Workstream 2, and specifically in relationship to jurisdiction. I am on the jurisdiction team, and there does seem to appear to be some, I don't know how widespread, but some appetite to reopen the issue of the formation of ICANN's, the jurisdiction of ICANN's formation. And a very helpful staff paper came out today, which talked about that issue, and they mentioned $5 million spent in Workstream 1, and all of that Workstream 1 work hinges upon California corporate status. I mean, you can't have a California empowered community if you're not a California entity. So at $1.4 million across all the teams, if we couldn't, if it took $5 million for one to explore, 180 other countries as possible homes for ICANN, I don't think that can be done at $1.4 million. Should we be reading into the amount that's been set aside as the co-chair's indication that at least you guys don't have a stomach for reopening up ICANN's formation jurisdiction and redoing Workstream 1? Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Someone from staff want to address that?
I can start, James, if you would like. This is Xavier Calvez, and I will let then Thomas go on because I see he has also raised his hand. And I can't speak specifically about jurisdiction, but I just wanted to point out that the concept behind the envelope suggested for FY17 is certainly including, among other things, that the work will not be redone that's already been done during WS1. Now, this is, of course, ignoring very specific cases where, to Paul's point, there may be some cases that need to be reopened, in quotes. And I don't know specifically about jurisdiction. I just wanted to point out to the principle that's been assumed for the purpose of the assessment of the budget that what has been worked on and decided during WS1 would not necessarily be reopened during WS2. If such needs to be the case, this will be an element that needs to enter into the information that the co-chairs will use to understand what are the requirements and then what they will lead to. I'll stop here and let Thomas elaborate further.
Thanks very much, Xavier, and thanks for the question. Well, I guess it would be very unwise to try to redo all the work that we've done in Workstream 1. The report that we've put out, the recommendations that we've put out, include specific topics that we should work on. As you know, the jurisdiction topic is multifaceted, and there are participants and probably members, I haven't done that test, in the jurisdiction sub-team that would want to reassess the place of incorporation for ICANN, i.e. the legal system that should be applicable for ICANN. But if you look at the genesis of our recommendations, all the additional materials that we've published with our Workstream 1 recommendations, it's quite obvious that our group came to the decision that it would be a moot exercise to go through all jurisdictions worldwide and see what jurisdiction might be the most beneficial for ICANN. That would be a waste of time and energy, and it would not be feasible. To put it in a nutshell, the intention of our report was to create an accountability architecture to see whether all the accountability features that we've been asking for can be delivered under Californian law. And certainly that would be extended to the Win 2 results to see whether there are any topics or any features that we would like to have that can't be delivered under Californian law. To my knowledge, none of such issues have occurred or have surfaced so far, meaning that together with the community and the lawyers that we've deployed, we could operationalize all features that we needed to enhance ICANN's accountability. And therefore, in my view, in my reading, and having followed every discussion, both on the calls as well as in face-to-face meetings as on the list, the intention was to do more of a gap analysis to spot weaknesses or deficiencies of California as a place of incorporation. But in the absence of such issues coming up, I think there should be an issue with this. And this is sort of why the legal budget that has been estimated for the whole exercise is not designed to do a global review of legal systems. We have other aspects, other facets of the jurisdiction topic that should be focused on. And I guess that we need to keep this historical development of the report in mind, as well as the limited time that we've set ourselves for delivering on the Workstream 2 recommendation. And in terms of resources, money, and time, it would not be possible to do a global review of legal systems. I hope that sufficiently answers the question.
Thank you, Xavier and Thomas. And I think it was the last statement there, Thomas, was the clarity that I think Paul and some others were looking for, given the constraints in the budget and the timeline of just how deep a jurisdiction review or analysis could go. Is the very patient Phil Corwin. Phil?
Thank you, James. I'm very patient. I have two questions relating to the independent legal advice budget. I wonder if staff could display the original document that we started with when this session started. Thank you. And I wonder if we could start with page one of this. Thank you. Okay. Let me say that I'm all in favor of efficient budgeting and accountable use of resources and not wasting money in any way. And I certainly believe that the cost of independent legal advice for Workstream 2 should be substantially less than that of Workstream 1. For example, there will be no need for any outside counsel to be involved with drafting and vetting complex new documents like new provisions of bylaws or articles of incorporation. Having said that, I'm concerned that the notion that 10% of the Workstream 1 budget will be sufficient for Workstream 2 may be extremely optimistic. And I would point out that Workstream 2 issues are not less important than Workstream 1. They are simply issues that did not have to be resolved prior to the transition, but they are still very important issues for accountability improvements, and that certain of the Workstream 2 issues, such as staff accountability and disclosure policies, which may expose staff communications, may be particular issues where the community feels that it wants to rely on outside legal advice to be sure it's fully objective. So my first question is, what happens if midway through Workstream 1, we've, even with the most tight controls by the legal committee, we're exhausting the $1.4 million and we're not done? Are we simply bereft of independent legal advice the remainder of Workstream 2, or is there a way to readdress that budget shortfall? And I wonder if anyone could address that question, and then I'll get to my second question.
Thanks, Bill. I see hands from both Tomas and Xavier. Whichever of you gentlemen would like to go first to tackle Phil's question.
I think Tomas had his hand first, so I'll let him go first, and then I'll add this.
I think it would be best for Bernie to maybe briefly speak, or Xavier speak to the process that we have in place for asking for additional funds to get that
right.
Procedural aspect.
Sure. I'll do that. And apologies if you haven't had a chance, Phil, to listen to the earlier part of the call, because we mentioned that in the budget responsibility, it includes basically the duty of assessing what the needs of resources are to achieve the desired goal. And as it relates to any subjects within WS2, the PCSD and the co-chairs together will work to understand what costs have been incurred, what is the remaining work, trying to estimate that remaining work, and come up with a potential forecast of costs for the remaining work. This may lead to identify that there's a shortfall for whatever reason. And that then there's a process to explain the potential shortfall, formulate a request for additional funds that will then be reviewed by the chartering organizations and upon their recommendation to be submitted to the board for approval with the right rationale and justification to be able to say there's more money needed to get this done. And that's what the process would be. So, yes, if there is a shortfall, there's a mechanism to allow for additional resources. This request simply needs to be formulated, provided with adequate rationale, and submitted for approval in so that transparently everyone can have the opportunity to weigh on it.
Okay. Well, thank you for that explanation. I'm a bit concerned that the board has the final word, particularly when I think that the 10% of Workstream 1 projection may be insufficient, but we'll just deal with that down the road. Now, I wonder if we could just get to page 3 of this document. I have one quick question on that.
But so this is Tomas. Before we move to that, I would like to offer an additional thought as an answer, because certainly I see the discrepancy between the budget for Workstream 1 and the budget for Workstream 2. And I would ask everyone not to perceive this as finger-pointing, and it is not, because it's not meant to be, but Workstream 1 was quite an iterative process. You will remember that we had quite an exchange with the board where the board saw issues with the legal models that the group came up with, so that we had to redo our work moving from the membership to, you know, through another iteration to the final model that we came up with. And each of those interaction costs, I would say, easily high six-digit figures in terms of dollars. So I think that now we've really entered into a new phase. I think that the very fundamental questions that we were facing have been worked on and completed. So I do hope that we will not face any situation where we have to detour and do double work that duplicates or triples the legal fees associated with it.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for that. Let me assure you, I was not pointing fingers at anyone or anything here, and I stated up front that I thought that the legal costs for Workstream 2 should be substantially less than for Workstream 1. If it was one-third or even a quarter, maybe 20%, I'd say that's probably realistic. I just think 10% is really tight. Let me, quick question on page 3. I don't want to monopolize things here. The legal committee, I'll just quick question. It's going to make the decisions on whether outside advice is needed. It includes an ICANN legal department representative. This may not be decided yet, but I just wanted to ask how the legal committee will make its decisions. And I would express the view that the view of the ICANN legal representative should have less weight than the view of community members in making those decisions. So that's my question and statement, and I'll get out of the queue once it's answered. Thank you.
Any takers
any response?
On that question, Thomas, W, Bernard? Bernard has his hand up. Go ahead, Bernard.
Thank you. If you actually go into the details of the legal committee from the original model, I believe that the ICANN representative was there for advice, but not a full voting member. So, as Thomas has said, we've gotten into new territory here with Workstream 2, and I believe that the legal committee will adjust itself accordingly. But possibly Greg will have more to say on that when he takes the mic.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Bernard. Thank you, Phil. And next up is David McCauley. David, your question?
Thank you, James. I actually have two questions. One is really a comment slash question for Bernie on the legal team coordination. And what it is, Bernie, I think on some coordinating with Sidley, I think there are some questions that the legal team is going to face, and I'm on the legal team and have a pretty high regard for the other members on it. I think we gel, and I think we know what we're doing. I think there's certain things where we won't need Sidley to coordinate. We can send directly to the firm involved, and I'll use one quick example. I thought of a question today on the IRP implementation team. It's an esoteric question that deals with the retroactivity, the law regarding retroactivity of bylaws in California. That question would clearly go right to Adler. And so I think that coordination bullet should allow for flexibility on the legal team in clear cases. The second thing is I have a question for Xavier, and it's really a question on how do either the co-chairs or the rapporteurs or even the teams keep track of what is being spent, how much gas is in the tank, and can you also comment, Xavier, on what's the lag time on getting bills from the law firms? In other words, if a expense is incurred today, when would you see that bill that could affect our watchfulness on this? So thank you very much.
Thank you for both very good questions on the practical implementation of this. So some of those details need to be worked out, but in principle, what we're hoping to be able to do is identify the requests and be able to track with the legal firms The work on those requests with basically a very simple tracking mechanism where we would have a request identified by a code or a letter or a number, and then have the firms track their time and their work according to those cases created and identified with the number or letter or code. And in having the bills sorted in that fashion as well. The billing of legal firms is the timing of the bills being provided varies fairly drastically across the firm. Adler has been relatively diligent. Sidley has been usually much later. But what we're trying to do is get around the problem rather than trying to resolve a problem that's really in the hands of the legal firm. And we're trying to get around it by not necessarily trying to obtain the bills from the firms, but obtain a more timely information on the hours spent by the firms, because they track that on a fairly regular basis, and it is apparently a less cumbersome exercise for them to aggregate the hours together and share that information with us than necessarily produce the bills. So bottom line, we're hoping to be able to get more timely within maybe a couple or 3 weeks from the end of the month, the hours spent by the firms so that we can have as a timely as possible tracking of the costs and therefore know how much has been effectively consumed and be able to react quickly to that. So that's our intent. It's not the perfect exercise. It's not the daily monitoring. But this is as timely as we're trying to be able to get it done. I'm hoping that helps in answering your question.
Thank you, Xavier. And I saw that Bernie had his hand up. Bernie, did you want to respond as well?
Yeah, just to tag on to what Xavier was saying, part of the issue was how we were assigning work in Workstream 1. I think in the presentation we just gave, the notion is that Workstream 2, outside legal firms, will be asked, and it's very clear in the mandate of the legal committee, very clear and specific questions. So I think that will play also in helping us manage and understand when we're getting the costs in. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that response. Next in the queue is Jeff Newman. Jeff, go ahead. You're up.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. Thank you, Xavier, for the presentation. You know, I guess my question, I put it in the chat, but I definitely, my fear is having Sidley, I agree with David, what he just said, which is that if there's clear cases where they know there's another firm that's specialized, they should be able to go directly. I understand the tracking aspect that Xavier, you mentioned, but my fear is you're paying a lot of money for essentially project management. And if they don't bill you for that, that's great, then I'll withdraw that. But from what I've, generally, the history I've seen with firms is that they bill you for all of that kind of stuff. But I guess one of my questions is how, and again, I remember the whole RFP for Workstream 1 with the selection of law firms, and I remember reading each of the proposals fairly closely. What I don't remember is the negotiations that took place to drive down the fees as they were originally proposed in their proposal, whether ICANN staff did that. And I'm not saying we should have another RFP for Workstream 2, but I do think the work is sufficiently of a different nature where perhaps a renegotiation of fees should be entered into, as the caliber of work may not be as, in some areas, as esoteric as it was for Workstream 1. So my question to Xavier is, generally with law firms, do you renegotiate with them every year or every 2 years in this case? Is that something that you all will look into or the legal committee will look into to try to reduce their fees? I'm sure after the amount of work that we've given them, they may consider that. And then the second thing, I do want to just disagree with what Phil Corwin said about the board he's concerned that the board is in a position to approve all requests for extra funding. I actually think that it's rightful. It's right that the board should have to approve all requests for additional funding, as they have fiduciary duties to the corporation to make sure its funds are being used and that it can carry out its business. So I just want to offer my support that additional funding, again, because I'm very concerned that ICANN actually does the substantive work it's supposed to do. I do agree that the board should maintain that authority to approve any additional funding requests. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Xavier, go ahead.
Thank you, James. And thank you, Jeff, for both the question and the comment. Regarding legal firms, I'm now speaking out of memory, and I will need to recheck because I'm not sure of what I'm going to say, but I think that we need to look into the contract with the legal firms, namely Sidley and Adler, because I'm suspecting that the engagement letter that we had for them and the contract that we had with them was with the scope of WS1. And I don't remember now if we can fit into that same contract the work of WS2. So from that perspective, we would have another opportunity to look at the work. What you're providing as an insight to the nature of the work and therefore the nature of the resources that would provide that work, I don't necessarily have visibility on that, but I think that I would expect the legal committee which includes experts, I would say, and lawyers and people who have the experience of sourcing legal advice to be able to direct also or be able to formulate what they think the requirements are associated with the questions so that the answers are provided in the most cost-efficient fashion by the firms, knowing that it's difficult for the legal committee to really choose who the firms should be putting in charge of responding to the questions, because at the end of the day, they want to ensure they have the right answer to the right question. So I think that this is choosing the resources has an impact on the rates. We had managed to negotiate discounts with the firms on their rates on the basis of the fact that we're a nonprofit and so on. And I definitely think that we should further renegotiate the rates as much as we can. I think insights on the nature of the work would be very helpful in doing so. And I think this is a good point for us to follow up on to see how we try to renegotiate with the firms the type of work, the type of support, and the rates that they apply. And avoid the project management type of cost that you're pointing out to as a risk, which I think has occurred during WS1. But part of the point that Bernie was making earlier on having very specific, defined, and pointed questions should help mitigate the risk of the firms having to do a lot of project management, because basically the legal committee would kind of do a bit of that project management work ahead of asking the questions. So I'll stop there and see if there's any reaction from Jeff or others.
Thank you, Xavier. And actually, we have about 4 minutes remaining in our time and two questions remaining in the queue. So if we could ask both questions and responses to be mindful of the clock, that would be great. We won't have to cut anyone off. Next up is Ed. Go ahead.
Thanks, James. Jeff, very briefly, I was on the legal executive as well in WS1. I've seen the initial contracts, and I don't often compliment ICANN, but the rates I saw were substantially less than I would expect. So I would reiterate what Javier said. They did negotiate a discount and did a fairly good job in my estimation. Quick question for Thomas. Have we budgeted enough for staff? I'm sitting here with my wonderful CEP sub team, ready to get going, and I'm still waiting for a staff report that's about 3 weeks overdue. And I know we lost Grace, the greatest employee in the history of ICANN, but do we have enough staff members budgeted to work on WS2? Thanks.
Thanks very much, Ed, for the question. I think we do. We have discussed with the CCWG at length the way we would like to conduct Workstream 2, so there's less involvement from staff in the course of this work. The sub-team are really responsible for the heavy lifting and the drafting of the documents. Certainly the departure of Grace was not very timely for this initial phase where we have been waiting and some groups are still waiting for the staff report. I do expect that problem to disappear once the staff reports are out. But I defer to Bernie to add to that if he likes.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas. Bernie, Xavier, or any other comments? So if not, we can Xavier, go ahead.
I'll just add that not trying to make commitments for on the behalf of Teresa and Sam, but the bottom line is that the staff will try to make sure, of course, that the right amount of support is provided and enough support is provided, and there's a very good relationship with the co-chairs in the staff, in the entire membership of the CCWG, but that collaboration should lead to be able to identify any shortcomings or shortfall of resources where they happen and try to plan and anticipate for those. And we all have the same objective to make this work. So at the end of the day, we'll make sure to be providing the support that is needed and have the most effective approach there. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Xavier. We'll give the last word to Greg. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks. I have about half an hour of things to say in response to things we already said, but I think I'll say them within the legal committee. And I think that, you know, clearly being good consumers and guardians of the communities and ICANN's budget is important to us, and I'm confident, frankly, that it is to the firms we're working with as well, and that the learning curve they've already gone on is going to make things more efficient. So, you know, two specific things, and then I have a very quick question, is that one, we'll talk to Sidley and Adler and get feedback from them and based on Workstream 1 on how we can keep the budget or spend as low as possible. And I know from various chats I've had that they have ideas, not all of which we followed, some of which we didn't even necessarily hear plenary. I want to make sure that the legal team at least hears what they have to say about why they thought the budget, why they thought the legal spend was high at times, you know, with a nearly $2 billion gross revenue. They don't need to make an extra dollar off of us to keep the wolf away from the door. Secondly, I think it's important the legal team, legal committee, see the bills that are coming in. You can't really manage lawyers without seeing the bills. It's the main way of seeing who's doing what and how much time it's taking. And bills are quite descriptive. As far as, you know, I won't get into the issue of renegotiating and law firm rates and all that. The question I had was back, I think, on the page 2 of the budget slides. It was the chart, and the question is whether the $1.4 million that's budgeted, is that covering Sidley and Adler, and potentially if we find that neither Sidley nor Adler has the resources we need, you know, a third firm that is being brought in, or is there something more that's covered in the $1.4 million there in the second in the column under budget in dollar triple zeros? And specifically, is that covering
I can take that
ICANN fees as well?
Great. Thank you for the question. And quickly to try to answer, we are assuming by lack of further knowledge, but I think it will be for the legal committee to determine where to source the best possible advice of the most competent firm or the firm that has more advanced knowledge on it. But we are assuming that any of the three firms could be used, whether it's Jones Day or Sidley or Adler. And honestly, the committee would say, we don't think we have any of those firms having the knowledge that we need. We need to find another one. That would be for the committee to define. So the $1.4 million is, I would say, agnostic to which firm
or firms is being used, it's simply a total amount of costs to cover for legal advice.
But it's not, it's only covering advice that is requested by the CCWG. It's not covering advice that would be requested by the ICANN staff or board relating to work in this work stream.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And we're a few minutes over, but I really wanted to say, you know, express some gratitude to David, to Xavier, to Thomas, and Bernie and the other members of staff for setting aside some time. Thank you to everyone who was able to this call and for a very lively Q&A exchange. I thought that was very, very helpful. Just a note again that this will be an item for discussion at the GNSO Council meeting on the 1st of September. So if you are a counselor or if you have another question or point to make, please work through your XCOM and your counselors to get that on the table and include it in our discussion on the 1st of September. And also, we could certainly make arrangements to feed additional questions to Xavier and Thomas in the interim between now and that meeting if you have some specific items or follow-up questions that weren't covered during this session today. But otherwise, thank you again for setting this up, and I thought it was very useful, and we'll be a good supporting resource for our conversation later next week. So with that, I think we can probably stop the recording and close the call. Natalie, if you don't mind.
Thanks very much, James. Mary, can you please stop the recording? Thank you, everyone, for joining. This now concludes the call.